Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Praise God. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to teach a little bit out of my mini book tonight. I can say, and I heard many ministers, men and women both, say this. And I heard them say it early in my ministry. And that is that other than the Word of God, the greatest asset or benefit of the Christian life was being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because the ability to pray in the Spirit and to intercede is such an important tool. I heard a preacher say, and there was a lot of stuff going on around 1987, 88, 89. There was a book written in 1988, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 88. Well, he didn't come. So they wrote another one the next year, 89 Reasons Why He Didn't Come in 88. You know, so you know how that goes. And we had Harold the Truck Driver. Does anybody remember Harold the Truck Driver? Do you remember that, George? Harold the Truck Driver? Yeah, you know, there was Harold the Truck Driver, so we won't tell that story. But there was a lot of people, bless their hearts, they just thought Jesus was coming back about that around that time, you know, and there was a lot of, I don't know, anticipation or whatever. And you know, I heard one minister in particular say, you know, if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. And I thought to myself, well, I better pray in the Holy Ghost. And then over the years, I would see ministers fall. And I would think, why? How did that happen? And I remember I was with a very well-known minister, and a certain minister had something that happened. And so I just felt, I wanted to ask the question. I said, why did that happen? And it was the same answer every time. Well, they quit praying. They quit praying. When they quit praying in the Holy Ghost, they lost that connection, that anointing. You know, we were around the good ones, and we were around Mom Goodwin. What was she, 92? When she passed, like something like that. And man, she was sharp as a tack till the day she went to see Jesus and flowed in the Holy Ghost and ministered to people, and people came to her. She ministered over the phone all the time. And I mean, just amazing, you know. So, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. But you're going to have to take the things that God has given us. You know, we've rehearsed several times what Peter says over there in Acts chapter 2, to save yourself from this wicked and untoward generation. We're going to have to save ourselves from everything this world and its system is trying to do to us right now. Because there's horrible, horrible, deceptive manipulation going on all over, in just about every genre of what's going on in life. In the political realm, in the social realm, in the medical realm, in the educational realm, in the financial realm. I mean, every realm you can just about name. There is layers of deception. There's all kinds of manipulation going on. It's because we're in the last days, and that's what the enemy's all about, is intimidation, manipulation for the purpose of control. And the devil and this world system sure don't want a bunch of Holy Ghost people running around praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, binding the devil, casting the devil out, and demanding things of God and demanding things of the devil. The devil doesn't want that. So that's what he does. He fights. He fights and it fights our minds. He fights. He tries to create dramas. He does all kinds of things. But listen, if you'll just be faithful, I've made it 40 years. Glory to God. If I drop dead 5 seconds from now, you'll be able to say, he made it 40 years. Glory to God. Amen. And I believe, God, I'm going to make it another at least 20. Till I start getting slowing down a little bit. Amen. But you know, I'd rather shoot high and miss the mark than shoot low and hit it. Isn't that what Brother Osteen used to say? So, you know, I mean, I begin to understand. I watched these guys, and I watched the ones that had an anointing. I watched the ones that had a gifting. I watched the ones that were successful, and I watched the ones that were goofy. Because there's a lot of goofy ones out there. And I begin to understand and realize that this praying in the Holy Ghost has so many different things, so many facets about it that are so useful to us. And then God just graced our family to be around the good ones and to be close enough or personal enough with them where we got special instruction in ministry from them, even when they were later in life, after Dad had gone on to be with the Lord and Mom was still alive. I mean, we were at Guido's one night. That might be the night Alan came back to the Lord. I think it was. Leo and I had just gotten married. I think we hadn't been married 2 weeks. I think we were just home from our honeymoon. And Mom Goodwin came down with a couple other ministers. And so Pops was part of the Pelican Club back then. So we got a table at the Pelican Club. And there was about 12 of us, I think, sitting there. And so, you know, she starts saying, you know, we're sitting there and she starts shaking, holding onto the table, saying, "Leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me, I'm trying to eat." You know, and I'm going, oh my goodness, I know what's fixing to happen. The waiter's looking like something going on here. You know, remember that? And man, she says, "Well, you know, I got to yield to the Holy Ghost." And she just starts going around the table, giving words to people, prophesy, and the anointing of God falls. And you're like, oh my God, you know, I mean, it was unreal. But it's amazing how the Holy Ghost will show up anywhere you're willing to let Him show up at. Yeah. Amen? And so we've got to understand that when we press in and make a decision, I'm going to use this tool, this attribute, which is God Himself abiding and dwelling in us and empowering us and being our helper and our comforter and our guide and our intercessor and our strengthener and our go, all those different attributes of Him. He is helping us do what? To get to know Jesus, to get to know Him so that He may be glorified, He may be magnified. Why? So He can reveal the Father in us and through us. It's all about that connection to that spirit realm through Jesus in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, let me go to Acts chapter 1. Did I tell you that real quick? Now, we looked a little bit over there in John chapter 7. Jesus talked about, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit," but the Holy Spirit had not been given because he had not yet been glorified. That's in John 7. You don't have to turn there. We're in Acts 1. But there seemed to be this urgency in Jesus to get finished and completed this redemptive assignment so that he can get the Holy Ghost into and upon the believer. If you study the Gospels, it's in there. I mean, he'd tell them stuff like, "It's expedient that I go." You know, that's like, it's important and necessary that I go. Because if I go, the Comforter cannot come. He talked over and over about the necessity for him to do what he was called to do in that redemptive assignment so that he could get the Spirit of God into God's creation, into God's children, into those that he had created that had been separated from him through sin. So the Spirit of God can only dwell in a cleansed temple. The temple had to be cleansed with blood. That's under the old covenant. So proof of the cleansed temple of heaven is the Spirit that lives in you. Proof. Proof of the cleansed temple is the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Because the Spirit cannot live where the temple hadn't been cleansed. And where the blood has been applied, hallelujah, the temple has been cleansed. And where the temple has been cleansed, that's where God abides. And where God abides, he says in John 14, he says, "That's where I will come and make my habitation." One translation says, "I will set up my headquarters." Glory to God. So God, by the Holy Ghost, wants to come and set up his headquarters in you through the new birth and the baptism in the Spirit. Now, let's grab the scripture just for a moment. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, there's a real two important points that need to be addressed, and we can move on. Verse 4, "And being assembled." Now, notice that word assembled. "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'Ye've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.'" Everybody say, "Holy Ghost, not many days hence." Now, there's a key right there that you should understand or you should see because you have the Holy Ghost and you're reading this. Amen. He used the term Holy Ghost, not the term Holy Spirit. Not the term that would reveal him in his presence or person, but the word that would be used to reveal him in his activity, which means he's going to do something. He's going to show up. He's going to do something. He's already shown up in John chapter 20 when the Bible says Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The Spirit of God went into those men and they were the first people on planet Earth born again. Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, them following their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So being assembled, let's look at that first. Now, this church is assembled. Has been being assembled for 22 years, 3 years. So, if you came during the day, you would see activity unique to the administration of the church going on. Books being worked on, children's church, music, people looking at music stuff, all kinds of stuff going on in media. You would see a functioning entity or body. I mean, I've gone to churches before and walked in, there's nothing going on. Nothing going on anywhere, except when they had services. There was, you know, you think, well, and they were churches that were just gathered together. There was no assembly. Out of what God has assembled here all these years, there's been continual function and purpose. I think Alan and Pat are fixing to leave for Nicaragua here in a couple, few days. Monday, I think. We support these missions all over. We have works in Ireland that are part of the ministry here. There is fruit. Amen. We've got media stuff that's beginning to open up for us. We've got other things that are going on. I got invited to speak in a mental health conference. It's a law conference with a bunch of lawyers and judges, and they want me to come and speak on the relevance of spirituality to mental health. I thought, oh my goodness. Here we go, Romans chapter 12, you know. Let's talk about renewing of mind for about an hour. But anyway, doors are open and let me just say it like this. He is assembled together with us. Because it's not our plan, it's not our purpose, it's not our function, it's His plan, His purpose, and His function. That He carries out how? How the Father always carries everything out, Genesis chapter 1. Word, amen, and the Spirit moving. The Word and the Spirit moving. The Word originates in the Father. The Word is of the Father, with the Father. Then the Word what? Then the Word becomes active as the Spirit moves. One of the realities of the Trinity. You know, that's where people get off when it comes to the Trinity many times, thinking, well, how can three be one? Listen, you're the same way. You're a threefold being. You have flesh, you have a soul, you have a spirit, amen. The only difference between you and God is God can separate His in such a way in that each of them have a distinct entity and personality to them, but they're all the same. You want to know the Father? He looks just like Jesus. You want to know the Holy Ghost? He looks just like Jesus. You want to know Jesus? He looks like the Father. He looks like the... They be one, amen. But they function as three different entities. Now, this one part of God, this is what's so amazing. This is what blows me away. For 40 years, it's not only kept me intrigued, but it's kept me moving toward Him and wanting more of Him. He did not trust us to an angel or some other kind of created spirit that He could have created that was not of Himself. But He gave us... Listen, that's why we're His children. That's why you can't go around messing with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Yeah. You say, why? Because blood is thicker than water, honey. Yeah. And the blood of this covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ is thicker than the water that birthed you. Yeah. Amen? And when you begin to realize God took this piece of Himself, this entity of the Holy Ghost, and He's taking it and putting it in us and on us forever, to forever hold us or bond us to Himself, that ought to give you a little security in the days to come in understanding that God is using all of us now to do what? To manifest the wisdom of God in the earth. I preached on that scripture for years, and I always thought that was futuristic. And the other day I was meditating and studying. I thought, I'm going to go over there and look at that again. And I looked at it, and it said now. Not in the future. Now God will use the church to manifest the wisdom of God and His power upon the earth. Praise God. Amen. So being assembled, everybody say assembled. Now, the staff knows, Leah knows, everybody knows. You know, you get all of these pieces of furniture and you get them shipped to your house or they deliver them and you got to put them together. Amen. So, you know, that's where you can have sudden rushes of emotion. Not conducive to marital bliss or any other. So I would get them. I remember one particular one. I put a drawer together backwards. And I couldn't figure out what in the world is this? And, you know, of course, she comes out, you read the instructions, you know. That's always at the right time, you know. But especially today, you've got to get every part together. I mean, I had a motor on a boat. This was about 4 or 5 years ago, and they couldn't get the thing to run right. It's a brand new motor under warranty. And so, thankfully, God gave me favor and a man that was willing to go through about 5 props and not charge me for them. And it was a prop issue because the prop was not pulling enough water across the intakes to cool the motor down. So after it was all said and done and he'd fixed it and everything, this is what he told me. He said, listen, 10 years ago, you even had this problem. I said, why not? He said, because everything they're doing now with every motor from a weed eater on up to the biggest motors and the biggest diesel trucks, everything is so tight now that you've got to get everything down to the very perfect, everything just right, and then it'll start. You know, one of them, ask Roy and them, am I right? It's not like it used to be. I used to could change my spark plugs. I can't even find them at the store today. I let other people do that stuff, amen? But it is, all of our technology is like that now. But now, being assembled, see, a putting something together takes time, takes effort, takes instructions, amen? What are you laughing at? Takes instructions. You got to read the instructions and you have to do what they say. So he begins the scripture by saying, and being what? Assembled. So the most important functioning part of the body of Christ is Jesus. And he is what we assemble to. Now, gathering people together. We've gathered people many times. We've gathered people together. I've gathered them in crusade settings and out and preached out in the open air and had thousands of people come. And we've gathered people in hotel ballrooms. We've gathered people all over the place. And so, when you gather people, it's basically for the sake of throwing the net. Seeing who you can get saved. Or edifying churches. We did a lot of gathering of people in Hawaii. We met in hotel ballrooms. We met in schools. And then some churches began to get some buildings. One of them had occupied a theater and then a Shield of Faith ended up in a bank. They ended up getting a bank building right there on the main drag. So we assembled. We saw assembly taking place. That's a good illustration. We saw assembly taking place in the churches. It's amazing how when we first came there, there wasn't much that was put together. But as we begin to come more and more and teach on faith, they begin to get vision, and then they begin to act on that vision, and they begin to have more and more outreaches themselves. They begin to do more and more activity begin to happen. And because of that, the churches grew as they were assembled together. Now, that's what God's doing. That's what God does in church. Every person who is drawn into the kingdom of God. And every person that is born again, there is a draw into the church. God wants you in the church. It's His government on the earth. Listen, it's very hard for God to protect you outside the church. He can use mercy, but many times grace is unavailable. Because there is a church grace or a church covering. Amen. And a lot of people don't realize that. But under that grace or under that covering, there is what? An assembly. Now, this assembly is for a purpose. Now, here he's talking about the Holy Ghost, the move of God, the move of the Spirit. Now, that's what we desire more and more, in greater and greater measures. We've seen great moves of the Spirit, waves of the Spirit. We've seen great revivals. We've seen revival in nations, revival in areas. But it just seems for about the past 20-something years, we've been in a period in which there wasn't a worldwide or a global movement. Now, we've had great meetings here at Island Church. We've had great meetings over in Ireland, in our churches in Ireland. We've had wonderful meetings in Shreveport, in Pastor Sam Carr's church. Wonderful meetings. We've had wonderful meetings there in Pastor Mark and Janet Brzee's church. They're in Tulsa, in Groesbeck, in Pastor Randy and Linda's church. In the Philippines, in Pastor Paul and Shadi's churches. Listen, we've seen God move in services. But we're contending for a move of God. And for God to move, there has to be a platform. And for there to be a platform, there has to be an assembly. God has to put something together. The platform is the church. The platform is the church in the last days. Because the church is what? The entity that Jesus is going to come back for. It's the what? The glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Now, people have tried to define that for years. What does that mean? What does that mean? You don't know. We've not been able to define that. Nobody's written a book. Nobody's been able to come up with a revelation. So it must be something within the confines of the sovereignty of God, where He's got something in a time period that brings glorification to the church. What will it be? 6 months before the rapture? A year before the rapture? 5 years before? I don't know. All I know is we have to progress toward that in allowing Jesus to continue to assemble us for the purpose of the Holy Ghost falling in our midst. I don't want to go nowhere where the Holy Ghost don't fall. You can go sit around and listen to people, teach the word, preach the word. That's all well and fine. But the letter killeth, the Spirit gives life and light. And I tell you, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, somebody said, well, you got to watch out for wildfire, man. Listen, wildfires can be brought into control. But no fire is no fire. Amen. And I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. And so, being assembled together with them. Now, here is a key. And this is something that when it became real to me, I began to realize what this was all about. He what? He did not invite them. He did not request. The Bible says He what? He commanded. Now, one of the things the Lord spoke to me, young in ministry and young in my life when I began to serve God again, is the Lord said, I reserve the right to command you. A command is a little different than a request. This is, when we study redemption, think of this. Salvation is an invitation. There's mercy, grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of acts of works of righteousness, but according to His mercy. So there's mercy, there's grace, there's God's righteousness, there's the remittance of sin. All the sin is washed away. You get a brand new life. Amen. So that's an invitation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whole world is invited. Come to Jesus. Come be saved. Come be born again. What does that mean? Come and find out. Amen. You know, who was it? One of the old patriarchs, Wesley or one of them, was there was a girl that had gotten saved and was afraid. She said he'd met the girl on the street. She'd been in one of the campaigns or crusades, gotten saved. And she said, when I got saved, I was afraid that I couldn't ever dance again. And he said, when she said that to him, he said, no, honey, you got saved. You can dance all you want. This is when, Pentecostals and those legalistic people thought dancing was a sin, No, you can dance all you want. And so ran into her about 3 years later and says, how you been doing? She says, I hadn't danced in 3 years. Hadn't wanted to. See, back then when you danced, you had to go to some, dank nightclub or something like that. They didn't have a lot of people dancing in the churches like they do today. Amen. Didn't want to. That's the reality of the new birth. It not only delivers you from the sin, it delivers you from the want to. If you still got a want to there, then check up on your salvation. Begin to enjoy the rewards or the fruits of your salvation. I mean, we saw it so strong back in those days when God was moving and the Holy Ghost was falling. That organization that Wilkerson started, my dad was a part of that, Teen Challenge, they had a 90% rate of people coming in there addicted to heroin that never went through withdrawals. The government came and began to ask them, what are you doing? Because your retention rate is so low. Only about 2% of people that ever went through Teen Challenge ever went back into drugs. You say, why? Because the program didn't deliver them. Jesus did. Yeah. Amen. So we have to understand that is the desire of God for us. I believe that God has planned for us something so powerful, something so supernatural, but we've got to be mature enough to handle it. We don't need something that God desires to do in the last days be something that blows us apart or blows us up. So we want to be what? Assembled with Him in such a way that He's able to do what? To command us. Command me, Lord. Command me, Lord. People used to ask me, what nation you called to? I said, I'm none. No nation. Every nation. No nation. The Bible said go. Didn't say anything about coming back. People used to get kind of irritated at me because they'd say, well, you kids just can't go here. Man, if the door opened, I went. We were sitting in an office one time. And some people had canceled in a crusade. Remember, we were sitting in Pastor Hallam's office, and I was sitting there, and a lady called on the phone and said, you know, we've had these ministers canceled. I need somebody that can teach and somebody that can preach a crusade. And she's just going on and on. She's all panicked. And Pastor Hallam just said, oh, they're sitting right here right now. They're just sitting right here. Looked up at me and said, you want to go to the Philippines? I said, why not? Let's go. We had a glorious time. Had 90 denominational pastors baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You just go with Jesus. We had a friend, Jacob Curran. Remember little Jacob? He was an Indian pilot. He's the one I tell the story about that put all the religious books and then put his gun at the end and said, if I don't find God, I'll blow my brains out. He got to the Bible and the big old light came down out of heaven. He looked up, Jesus stood there with his hands up and said, Jacob, you don't have to die. I died for you. And so I was at a banquet, a full gospel businessman banquet, and two or three big preachers, they were standing around, and they said, how many partners do you have, Jacob? Talking about partners in ministry. He said, I have one partner. His name is Jesus. Everywhere I go, Jesus sends me. I mean, that type of mentality is coming back into the church. It's coming back into people. Why? Because we're drawing nigh unto Him again. So being assembled, everybody say assembled. Now, once assembled, He retains the right to command them. Now, remember this about what the Word says about its commands. They're not grievous. God did not save us to kill us. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it in abundance. And a lot of people have never dared to begin to explore the dimensions of what that really means. What does it mean to have an abundant life, a life of abundance? Well, it means that you have no lack. It means that you have purpose in life. It means that you have destiny in life. And it means that there's a connection in the spirit realm between you and God by the Holy Ghost through the Word of God, in which God is retaining His right as your Heavenly Father to keep you moving on a path that He's commanding you to walk on. That's why if you walk on it long enough and you get off of it a little bit, it freaks you out. Amen. That's why you got to stay on the path. That path of righteousness, which David talked about. Now, he gave us the new birth. Now we're talking about what we've been talking about, the Holy Ghost. So, that was a good introduction, wasn't it? Hey, 40 years. Come on. Give me a break. Go real quick. Where was I going to go from there? Oh, yeah, I was going to do this. Now, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, filled with the Holy Ghost. Last week, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a detailed masterpiece of revelation given by God, penned by the Apostle Paul, that gives us the reality of what God intends or what actually was intended by the initial outpouring in which upon the disciples or upon those that eventually became apostles, but we like to say it like this, the 120, they were for sure all disciples, there appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues like as a fire. Everybody say like as a fire. So we know Acts chapter 2 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Before that it said, and it filled the place where they were sitting. So it talks about the presence in the place where we are. So there are all of those different dimensions. So the tongues element of this is where so many people get confused, get mixed up, and get off. Amen. So we understand by the Word of God. Now, if you're confused about it, go study 1 Corinthians 14. Study some of these chapters, but I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a thumbnail, and then if I have time, we'll touch on this for a moment. Now, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is evidence. If you say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I would ask you, has there been any evidence? If you say, well, yeah, I feel a warm glow, I'd say, that's not it. I'd say, well, I feel surrounded by the love of Jesus. I'd say, awesome, that's not it. Amen? No, the evidence, according to the Word of God, is the ability of an individual to speak in a language in which they have not intellectually learned, a foreign language, an unknown. It could be the tongue of men. It could be the tongue of angels. So the Bible says, amen? The initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost when you are baptized or when you receive the Spirit of God in baptismal measure. Amen. So quickly, quick review. Three baptisms talked about, Hebrews chapter 6, basic doctrine of Christ. Number one, everybody say number one. Most important, baptism into the body of Christ, the new birth, being saved. Second, endued with power, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Third, water baptism, outward showing of the inward grace. We need them all. Everybody say we need them all. So, the baptism in the Spirit. You receive the Spirit in a measure. The Bible says of Jesus, John chapter 3, He received it without measure. We receive it in a measure. That has to be an understanding. That's no wonder the devil wants us what? Divided. Because when you bring a measure, I bring a measure, you bring a measure, you bring a measure. We bring our measures. We put them together. We have unity. I go over and over. Every time I talk about it, it just keeps rising up in my spirit. When I read Catherine Kuhlman's book, I Believe in Miracles, and she talks about when the crowd, she never talked about her gift, her anointing. She talks about when the crowd, when it got into unity. When they one guy said this. He said, when we sang as one voice, the glory fell and all were healed.
Amen.
Amen. So there is that unifies, that pulls us together. So the Spirit of God comes in baptismal measure. Now, I cannot say that anyone will have any particular experience that anybody else has. It's an individual thing. But I know this by Scripture and by experience, God will give you an unction, an utterance. It may begin with just a stammering lip, but out of that, a word will form. You grab that word and you go on with it. Amen? But the evidence of the Holy Ghost coming onto your life in baptismal measure is evidenced by you speaking in that language. Now, to understand the phenomenon and the physical miracle that this is, James talks about the tongue being an uncontrollable animal in your mouth that can set hell itself on fire. Amen? So we understand and we know, we all know by experience, our tongue is a unique member in our body by its ability to connect to different things that desire to communicate. Hopefully, most of the time, it's our brain, our mind, our intellect. But your tongue can hook itself to your anger, to your pride, amen, to all kinds of stuff. But the good news is, it's proof that there's a disconnect element to your tongue. God uses it to your advantage, disconnecting your tongue from your intellect, from your anger, from whatever else it may be, hooking it to your human spirit. What's in your human spirit? That's where He abides. That's where He lives. He wants to communicate. Your human spirit wants to communicate with His Father. Come on, church. So what does God grant? What man lost at the Tower of Babel. He grants a language that he could communicate to God with. Actually, what man lost in the garden. It's what he lost in the garden. What God had to confuse in the Tower of Babel. So now, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you've received this evidence of speaking in another language. Wow. Okay. The problem for most is it's an experience at an altar. in which the intention of God is that it becomes your life and lifestyle. So just like an individual would learn how to speak a language, what is that called now? Will you learn to speak a language, that product? Well, there's a bunch of them out there, I guess, Babel, all that kind of stuff. So they will get that. They'll teach you a process. I mean, you can play it on your phone, go to bed at night, listen to it, you know, all that. But eventually, you'll quit struggling with it, because what will happen is your mind will begin to think in that language. There was a movie years ago. I haven't seen that movie in years. It was with Clint Eastwood. Firefox, and he went to Russia as a spy, and he stole an airplane that he drove with his mind. Remember that? But he couldn't drive it till he started thinking in Russian. He was sitting there, couldn't figure out how to get this thing. He's thinking, and then all of a sudden he remembers, that's right, this is a Russian airplane. He starts thinking in Russian. It starts working. Did you know when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you start thinking in the Word of God? It begins to affect your thinking. Because what are you praying? You're praying the Word of God. You're praying the will of God. Word of God, will of God are synonymous. Now, people get irritated and mad because, well, I go to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't understand it. My mouth gets dry. You've got to fight against all of that. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to press in, and I'm going to take this beautiful gift that God has placed upon my life. Baptize me in His Spirit. It's going to be on me forever. One day, it'll gather my body together if I die, and it'll cause my body to live glorified before the Father. It'll also cause me to live forever in that glorified body, doing the will of God forever with His power, with His strength, and with His might. Amen. So how much more is it going to be a blessing for you to do that in the ages to come when you're pressing into it now? Amen. Now, I was over there we've run out of time. Well, I could go all night. Lift up your hands in worship. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Let's do this real quick. 1 Corinthians 14 right there. Now. Oh, that's good. You can go up there and play. Brother Frank. Hallelujah. Thank God for Frank. That's tough. Okay, I won't do it. If you go and study chapter 14, it will help you understand the difference between what happened to you when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, and with those who also received the gift of tongues. You say, what's the difference? Well, every person that is baptized in the Holy Ghost receives a language, an entrance into it. But not everybody receives the gift of tongues. It's as the Spirit wills is what God tells us. Even instructions on the use of the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says that preferably to keep order in the church, there should be three that speak in the tongues and one interpret. That keeps order in the church. Amen. That doesn't mean God can't move outside that, but that means that's the standard that He set there. So it talks about different things, about how Paul will say something like, well, if I come in speaking in tongues, nobody would understand me. Then he goes over here and says, well, if I speak in tongues by interpretation, then it edifies the church. It's easy to see if you just look when he's talking about one or talking about the other. One edifies the church, one edifies you. Yeah. Amen. When someone speaks in tongues and there's an interpretation given, it edifies and builds up the church. Now, we watched the good ones for years work together in tongues and interpretation of tongues. They were even challenged by people who did not believe them, because they would do these gestures. They'd pick people up and walk with them and talk with them and do these gestures and stuff, but their eyes were always closed. And they always did the same gestures. So they were ministering in the Spirit one time, and Brother Goodwin said, well, we're just going to show some of these unbelievers that this is the Spirit of God. He said, I'll just go outside the door. So he walked outside, stood outside in the hall, and Sister Goodwin gave several messages in tongues and did all these different things with different people, and then went and sat down up on the platform. Brother Goodwin came in and did every move that she made, went to every person she went to, and ministered to them by the Holy Ghost. See, that's how the Spirit of God works. Amen? So, that same Spirit, that same anointing is in you, but it's also upon you. Now, remember this. Thank you, Lord. That's a good closing point. Salvation's for you. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is for us.
Yeah.
Amen? It's for us. That don't mean it's corporate. That means you have to receive it as an individual. But the empowerment on the inside, that's for you. That's for you to grow. That's for you to grow God's garden. Amen? But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for service. Supernatural service. Everything that God wants done in the kingdom of God or in the church, He wants it done supernaturally. I mean, you could be driving the bus and somebody didn't get something in a service, God could touch you and you could minister to them right there. I mean, you could be walking down the street. Amen? God can use you any place you're willing to be used. Sometimes that's what God doesn't use us more. But many times people lose their sensitivity to spiritual things because they're not praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Spirit. So I encourage you tonight, build yourself up on your most holy faith. If you struggle, come to our prayer meetings. You'll find a liberty in there. Because I guarantee you, I'm not a big stickler on, you know, God moves over here more than He moves over there. But when I go pray, I go in there. Because there's a difference. And, you know, there's just an anointing in there. That's just the way things are sometimes. So, you know, every one of you here tonight, every one of you that are born again, that Spirit abides. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, don't let it get stagnant in you. Stir it up. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Pray in the understanding. Sing in the understanding. And then learn how to live a life being led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. And as we've said, flesh and flesh is so empowered these days. I mean, they've empowered the flesh of fallen humanity. You know, at the end of this dispensation, where flesh is pretty much out of control now. But the good news is, you've been redeemed by uncorruptible things. And even though your flesh will one day be redeemed and glorified, it doesn't have to dominate you now. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lift your hands and worship Him just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who's got a message in tongues? I thought so, Alan. Give that out. Now, note, don't just listen, but hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your heart this night. For it may not be that which is sensational, but it is that which is supernatural. For if you will train yourself and train your heart to walk in the Spirit, you shall find in the days ahead there is much that you will miss. There is much that will not find you. There is much that will not be able to come to you to torment or harm or hurt in any way. For my Spirit will lead you to such a place in which you cannot be found. You will not be there when it arrives. So make a decision this night. I'll walk in the Spirit. I'll walk in the Spirit. And you'll walk away from, and you'll walk out of much of what the enemy intends to use to destroy you with, and you'll walk into my glory, and it shall be a blessing, and you shall see great protection upon your life, for you've chose to walk by my Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I do. I choose to walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank Him for a minute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, as we leave tonight, thank you that we can declare your word. Thank you that the Spirit of God on the inside of us grasp the word that is real in our hearts and gives us a resounding yea and amen, or so be it. So Lord, we declare that about Psalms 91. No evil befalls us. And Lord, we know we pray over our travel and our transportation, the work or labor of our hands. But Father, we're also talking about things loosed upon the earth, things destructive, things of the enemy, things that would bring harm or hurt to us. Even though we may be ignorant of how they work, operate, or infect our life, thank you that we're free from it, that it does not affect us in any way. For we are your church in the last days. We stand upon your word and the blood of the covenant that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in the Spirit that abides and empowers. You said that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty word of power. Thank you for the mighty power of the name of Jesus. And thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. By it, we live free, free, and unattached to the destruction and the turmoil that is in this world. Thank you for the peace of God. I speak peace and comfort over all that are here tonight, all listening on the internet. We speak peace and comfort to your heart and to your life. We speak healing and blessing, health and wealth unto you by the word of God and the Spirit of God, that you may prosper, be blessed, and be used mightily of Him in the last days. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We love you. We give ourselves unto you. We trust you, for you are faithful and righteous. We leave today. We leave tonight walking in faith and love toward you. Leave tonight walking in love one toward another. Thank you for the spirit of unity. Thank you for the bond of peace. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord. Here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.